Brady. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and on the broadcast today, we're going to talk about a couple of very important issues. Basically, under the heading of the idea that Christian education is under attack in America as never before, we see an attack taking place in the story of a German family that is seeking to homeschool their children and are under persecution in Germany. But how it relates to the United States is the fact that this particular family has been trying to seek asylum in the United States, and that has not gone so well for them up until now. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Jamie Dean, the news editor for World Magazine. Jamie will bring us up to speed on that particular story. We've got a couple other stories, if we have time during that segment with Jamie, that we want to talk about as well. And then on the second half of the broadcast, I want to talk about a story that is much closer to home for me. And that story deals with an attack that is currently underway, an attack against a local Christian school. The Christian school is the Blue Ridge Christian Academy. I have spoken out there to their students, been invited to go out there and speak a couple times. A teacher from that school is in my congregation, the church that I pastor at Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, and she gave a quiz based on the one of the DVDs that was provided by Answers in Genesis. She gave showed the DVD, gave a quiz to the students. Well, one of the parents of the students then complained about, saw the quiz that came home with his daughter. He then somehow this ended up out on Snopes.com. Snopes.com is a website that kind of verifies whether charges or accusations are true. Well, it showed up out there, and it asked just questions that were beyond people's belief, like how old is the earth, and these types of penetrating questions, these types of things. And the response that received out on Snopes.com is just chilling. Atheists have attacked the school. In some cases, they have actually threatened the teachers that are teaching there at the school. Well, Answers in Genesis, because this was related to the showing of their DVD, they posted it out on their page and are giving some comment about it as well. We'll talk about that whole situation on the second part of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. So the general umbrella element that we're talking about on the program today is Christian education is under attack. So there's where we're going in our broadcast today. You're certainly welcome to participate in the program. We've set up two ways for you to be able to do that. One, we have a toll-free number. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ, and that equates to 1-888-660-9535. We also have an email account set up, and that email account is kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Either way, you're certainly welcomed and encouraged to participate in the program today. First up, Jamie Dean from World Magazine. Jamie, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Jamie, I wanted to get your scoop on what's taking place with this German homeschooling family. So if you wouldn't mind, please give us a little synopsis of what's taking place.
Sure. The Romaikas are a homeschooling family from Germany who first came to the U.S. in 2008. They came here because they wanted to homeschool their six children in Germany. Actually, they had five children at the time. They've since had another daughter. But they wanted to homeschool in Germany, and that is just against the law in Germany. Basically, German law says that children have to go to a state-approved school, and homeschools do not fit that definition. Well, the Romaikas were quite determined that homeschooling was best for their children. They had sent two of their children to public schools and had very bad experiences with that. And so they continued pursuing homeschooling and eventually incurred fines of about $9,000. They began to worry that authorities might take custody of their children at some point. And so in 2008, they came to the U.S. And applied for asylum. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association has helped them with that asylum application. In 2010, an immigration judge awarded asylum to them. He said that they did face the threat of religious persecution in Germany because their Christian convictions caused them to want to homeschool, and if they return, they could be persecuted for that. So the judge granted that asylum. Well, the Obama administration appealed that ruling, government appealed that ruling, and another court basically overturned the asylum. So they took back the asylum. So now that case has been appealed again. The Romaikas are appealing that decision, and they just had oral arguments in another court in Ohio last week, and they are awaiting to hear what that court will say. It'll probably be at least several weeks and even maybe several months before that court decides. But basically, what's on the line here is whether this family that wants to homeschool has a fundamental right to do that and whether our government recognizes that and welcomes them to find asylum here.
Mm-hmm. I guess we should say a little bit of a word about the situation in Germany for evangelicals. There's very few evangelicals there. And, you know, the religious situation there in Germany is not good to begin with, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, the estimates are 1% to 2% of the population in Germany would be evangelical. And a lot of people think 2% is a pretty high estimate. Most Germans would consider themselves Catholic or Lutheran, but even that would be very nominal. I mean, very, very few Germans actually attend church on a regular basis. It's a very secularized society, and a society that's very suspicious of evangelicals, suspicious of things like you just talked about, creationism, suspicious of a family that would want to homeschool their children. They're suspicious of those things. And so it's not like here where maybe you don't want to send your kids to public school and you've got 10 options for good Christian schools in your town, perhaps. There's nothing quite like that in Germany. There are Christian schools, there are private schools, but even those schools are still under government oversight. And a lot of Christian schools still use public school curriculum as kind of the core of what they do. Mm-hmm. And so for a family that really has convictions about educating their children from a Christian perspective, you know, and wants to homeschool, there are not a lot of other good options available for them.
Sure. And when we talked about the idea that they were concerned about exactly what the German government would do. They're in this hostile environment already, suspicious environment, as you just talked about, suspicion on both sides. They're suspicious of the secularized environment that they're in, but then also they seem to be under suspicion by the German authorities. This is not unfounded for them, right? I mean, they're not imagining things because there was even a point where the German police actually showed up at the door in order to take their children to public school. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. About 6 weeks after they decided to homeschool, in fact. You know, like I mentioned, they had sent their kids to public schools at first, had a bad experience there. Someone in Germany mentioned homeschooling to them as an option. They had never really heard of anyone doing that. Mm. They learned a little bit about it, decided they would pursue this option themselves, and just started doing it. And about 6 weeks later, German authorities, police, came to the door and demanded to take their two older children to school. They took them to school in the police car. The mom went to school at the lunch hour and retrieved her children back, and they never sent them back. But they did. They had this experience of literally watching the police come to their house and take their children away. I mean, very, very frightening. Mm. And you know, made them wonder, could that happen on a more permanent basis? And there, in fact, that was not unfounded either, because in 2007, German authorities did take custody of a 15-year-old girl from her homeschooling family in Bavaria. She later ended up going back to her family when she was 16 and could legally decide to do that. And she ended up saying, you know, what they said to her after they took custody of her was that her evangelical parents had brainwashed her. They were basically taking her for her own good and that sort of thing. So, I mean, a case like that alarmed the Romikas into thinking that really they were just running out of options when it came to staying in Germany.
Hmm. One of the statements that you put in your article on World Magazine is that German officials have said they oppose homeschooling because they want to prevent, quote, a parallel societies, unquote, from developing. So what in the world is this all about? You know, it sounds so... I hate to use the same concept, but, you know, it sounds like a Nazi type of thing, you know, where they want everybody to be of one type of race, one type of way of thinking. It almost seems there's elements of this where we don't want a parallel society here.
Yeah, I mean, it is strange language at least. And, you know, originally that language of parallel societies was really used to apply to Muslim radicals. I mean, we began hearing that language in Germany when they saw Muslims coming in. They feared radical Muslims in particular, who kind of kept to themselves and developed their own communities and those sorts of things. And so they said, we don't want those kinds of parallel societies. And now, for reasons that are unclear, they would lump evangelical Christians into that same kind of element. In fact, I talked to one German pastor who's an evangelical pastor in another part of Germany, and he said, yeah, I mean, the public media now uses the word fundamentalist to cover not only the bomb-throwing Muslim fundamentalist, but an evangelical fundamentalist. Mm. And so I don't think evangelicals have given them any reason to fear that kind of thing. But for some reason, they're lumped into that category together. And so they really see this sort of as a threat to a more unified society, I guess would be the best way to say that.
Mm. How has the small but present Christian church responded to this homeschooling family in Germany? Has there been a tremendous amount of support for them within that community?
Well, it's interesting. There hasn't been much support at all, to tell you the truth. In fact, the Romikas and another German homeschooling family that I spoke with who still lives in Germany said German Christians don't really understand why we want to do this. I mean, they sort of think, you know, you should obey the government and go along with it, and what's the big deal? Don't rock the boat kind of a thing. And I think it's important here, just real quickly, to say that the Romikas and a couple of the other homeschooling families in Germany that I talked to, they're not saying that all Christians have to homeschool, that it's a requirement of the Christian faith. They're just saying their convictions require them to do that, that their conscience requires them to do that. And so they're not, you know, looking down on all the Christians, good Christians in Germany who are sending their kids to public school. They say that's up to their conscience. But the Christians that these couple of families at least have encountered have not been supportive of them. I did talk to a couple of missionaries who say, you know, yeah, we support the right of Christian families to homeschool. We think they should be able to do that. They send their kids to public school, these missionaries that I talked with, but they would certainly support the right to do it. Overall, though, I mean, to answer your question, there's no big outcry from Christians or churches in Germany saying, leave these families alone.
Now, there wasn't an outcry over there, but there has been quite a movement over here, right? There's been a number, a website that was set up where people could sign a document of support for this homeschooling family. I think that, if I remember right, I don't have it up here right in front of me, but I think that it was over 100,000 people already had signed a letter of support. So the evangelical church here in the States has seemed to get behind this and support this.
That's right. I mean, obviously, there's a much larger homeschooling community here in the United States and much more freedom for homeschooling here in the United States. And that community really has gotten behind it. I mean, they would obviously understand better than anyone why the Romikas feel this conviction and have really, as you said, come to their aid in that. There was a petition. It was actually a petition to the White House that people could sign, and I do believe it did pass that 100,000 mark recently. So, yeah, there's been a groundswell of support here in the U.S. for them.
Mm. You mentioned that the HSLDA has taken up this case. I imagine they're still working along with the family, to especially on this appeal about the asylum being rejected.
They are. In fact, they were there with them in Ohio last week to make arguments in that case, and my understanding is they will see them through to whatever the end of this case may be.
Mm. We just yesterday did a broadcast about homeschooling. We had David Nunnery, who was here with us in the studio. David is the him and his wife are the driving force behind setting up the Teach Them Diligently homeschooling conferences or conventions, I think they refer to them as. And they now have one here in the GSP area, Greenville-Spartanburg area. That one's going to start tomorrow and then go through Saturday. Right here is also two other locations, Nashville, Tennessee, and then the other one was in Omaha, Nebraska. And so they have three large-scale ones that are taking place, and I think they've launched then nine smaller ones, kind of just smaller events that are taking place as well. So they've really done an excellent job. But I mention that to say, first of all, yesterday we discussed the idea from a news article that this one-size-fits-all approach to education is what the problem is. And here we see that the German government and maybe the government of the United States as well, if they don't support this family and accept them, you know, as a case for asylum here in the United States, this mentality that, you know, this is the way education has to be done, you know, this is it, and if you don't go this way, then you're strange, or in this case, you're illegal, and, you know, that concept is what is problematic, because as we talked about it yesterday, that is just not the case. There are other ways to accomplish good education. And I say that because I mentioned that Teach Them Diligently convention, because both World Magazine are going to be there, along with HSLDA are going to be there as well. And I recommended to David yesterday that one of those two groups be given an opportunity to address one of the plenary sessions, to bring the group that's there up to date on what is taking place concerning this story. Not only should evangelicals in general be interested and supportive, but I would imagine that the 7,000 homeschoolers that are going to be at this particular convention would be even more specifically supportive of this family. So, Jamie, you guys are going to be there. I know already you've got a booth there, and maybe that'll give you an opportunity to be able to bring folks up to speed on this issue.
I hope so. I mean, it really is an important issue to follow. You know, I mean, what our government says about homeschooling and whether it is a fundamental human right, I mean, I think is something we really want to watch. I mean, I don't want to be alarmist and suggest that homeschoolers in America are under threat at this point, but I do think it's important to watch what our government says about whether homeschooling is a fundamental human right that we should defend wherever people are from.
Yeah, it would be particularly interesting, especially in light of, you remember the MSNBC host that came out with they were launching some sort of a network program, and she indicated during that little promo that they put out that children don't belong to the parents. that we need to, I termed it this way in a video segment that I did on that, you didn't birth that, playing off of President Obama's statement that you didn't build that. Well, the consensus seems to be now among some of the progressives that you didn't birth that, that the children are not your own, that you don't have the primary responsibility. And she talked about the way that we've got to get away from that notion that parents have the responsibility for their children, and we need to think much more collectively about this. She used a lot of terminology that was associated with the Obama campaign. The actual promo was called Lean Forward, so there was a connection there. This whole collective idea is a word we've heard come up over and over again. And then, just this the basic concept that she was putting forth there, that children don't actually belong to their parents, that it's something that takes a village type of an approach. And even beyond that, the ownership, the village actually owns your children, not you. So those are disturbing trends. And I think in light of those types of things, you're right, it's going to be very interesting to watch what takes place.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even the United Nations, which is not the most friendly group towards Christians or conservative ideas, has said, look, parents have a right to choose the kind of education that they should give their children. And they've actually pushed Germany to allow some form of homeschooling in the past. And so if you have the United Nations of all groups saying, perhaps we should take a look at this and defend these folks, they haven't defended the Romica specifically, but the idea that families should be able to choose their education for their kids, and one would hope our government would at least agree with that as well.
Right. We hate to find ourselves here on this program agreeing with anything in the United Nations. I'm going to lose listeners over this, but you're absolutely right. One element that we didn't mention is, we're talking specifically about homeschooling. I'm going to talk in a minute about Christian school and the attack that's taking place on a local Christian school. But there are Christian schools or private schools in Germany as well. Is that correct?
That's right. There are a number of them. Most people would send their kids to public schools, but there are a number of private schools and Christian schools. But as I mentioned before, even those schools are still under some form of German oversight. And some of the Christian schools use German curriculum, German public school curriculum. They'll add to it and things like that, but they'll still use that as the core of their curriculum. So for a Christian family, that doesn't really work for them. There are schools for missionary kids or for foreigners that are completely on their own, completely outside of government control, but most of those would not be able to take German citizens as students. So again, those options are there, but they're pretty limited in terms of what they can offer to Christian families.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for bringing this story to the forefront, and I think that World Magazine was probably instrumental in that 100,000 people actually going out there and supporting it because of reading about the story in the most recent edition of World Magazine. So we thank you once again for staying on top of these stories and for the great work that you guys are doing there at World Mag.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
Okay. That was Jamie Dean. Jamie is the news editor for World Magazine. When we come back from the break, we're going to switch gears here just slightly. We're going to talk about a Christian school, specifically Blue Ridge Christian Academy, here right at the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains, an absolutely beautiful campus that they have there, and the attack that they are currently under by atheists because of a quiz that was given to students in the class. Wait till I tell you some of the questions that were on this quiz. You won't believe it. And wait till I tell you some of the attacks that were leveled at this school. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Homosexual activists are protesting the involvement of Pastor Greg Laurie in the upcoming National Day of Prayer. On the next Janet Mefford Show, Greg Laurie will join me to talk about it, as well as the events coming up on Thursday. Plus, what does it mean to have real fellowship among Christian believers? Author Jerry Bridges will be my guest, and we'll talk about his book, True Community. That and a whole lot more. Join us for the next Janet Mefford Show.
Today at 3 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Nobody wants a miserable parenting experience, right? Well, today on Licensed to Parent, Trace Embry says many parents set themselves up for one.
One of the best ways I can think of to make your parenting experience miserable is to be a chronic yeller. It does nothing but embarrass you, all while rendering you weak and disrespected in the eyes of your kids. Kids need, and believe it or not, want action from their parents. Yelling damages our kids' self-esteem, and because we're often out of control when we yell, or at least we appear to be, it instills in our kids a tremendous sense of insecurity. So do your best to keep Christ at the forefront of your mind and set appropriate boundaries. When the boundaries are crossed, calmly implement the consequences or warning for the first offense and go on about your day. Sounds easy, right? That's why you keep Christ at the forefront.
Become the parent your child needs at LicensedToParent.org.
Personal Defense Outfitter is here to help you equip, train, and defend. We offer quality handguns, shotguns, and rifles with competitive pricing and a family-friendly atmosphere. We also offer training classes, including CWP, with highly trained instructors who make the classes enjoyable and informative. Whether you're looking to equip yourself with a quality firearm or seeking training, come by Personal Defense Outfitter, 12 South Main Street, Travelers Rest, or call 864-601-2097. That's Personal Defense Outfitter, your home to equip, train, and defend.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program. I wanted to just bring a couple things to your attention programming-wise. And then we'll go ahead and continue with our discussion. I want to talk to you in the second half of the broadcast about intolerant atheists and the viciously attacking a local Christian school. If you know something about this, by the way, or just want to comment on the idea of it, you're certainly welcome to call in or send an email in with your question or comment. The number here is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. The email is kevin@knowingthetruth.org. By the way, we do have a live webcast of the broadcast that is taking place right now as well. So many of the folks here, primarily in the upstate of South Carolina, but beyond as well. We get calls from all over the area, actually, and comments from a number of different people throughout the region. But primarily in the upstate, we get a lot of folks that are listening via the radio program. And so that's wonderful. The radio program here goes out on a 50,000-watt station covering four states, all of South Carolina, parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. So it's a big microphone. I think there's almost 2 million people within that footprint of that microphone, the range that that goes out on. So a lot of people listen on the airwaves. I get truck drivers calling in that are driving down 85 and so forth. However, we also do a live video webcast now. Jim Moline, and sometimes he has some help here in the studio as well, has been so kind to be doing the video production of the program. So now he's added to the audio version of it, and it's not just one camera sitting on me like I tried to do when I was doing the video production of it, if you want to call it that. Jim is actually weaving into the program various graphics. For instance, in a few minutes when we'll be showing the information related to this attack upon a Christian school, Jim will actually be bringing up the test or the quiz that was given to the students. He'll be bringing up some of the information that was put out on AIG, Answers in Genesis website, and so forth. And so Jim mixes that in, so it's very interactive in its approach. So if you get an opportunity, you can go out to www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth, and out there you'll be able to click and watch on your PC, and actually even on your phone, on your smartphone now, you can actually watch the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. And when I say watch it, it's not just me sitting behind the microphone. there would be nothing to see if that was the case. There's a lot more added to it now, and Jim has been adding a lot more to that, to what he's been doing. He's now got various cameras here in the studio, and so he takes from different angles. You get to see Gary Miller. Gary's been a well-known radio personality here in the upstate for many years, and you'll get to see Gary, especially counting me down at the end. You know, people thought I was just hitting the end of the broadcast right, which even with his countdown, a lot of times I don't hit it right. But Gary counts me down, tells me about calls coming in and out, does a lot of the audio production of the program. And so you get to see a little bit of Gary on the program here as well. So I want to make sure you're aware of that. For instance, right now I want to tell you about what's taking place tomorrow's broadcast. And tomorrow's broadcast, I'll be joined by an area pastor as well. Rob McCurley will be my guest on the program tomorrow. We're showing Rob McCurley's picture right now up on the webcast. And Rob is the pastor of Greenville Presbyterian Church in downtown Greenville here. And we're going to be talking about one of Rob's sermons. Rob did a tremendous job on a sermon about dealing with lust. And he actually preached this a number of years ago now. And I had the sermon recommended to me. A friend of mine said, you know, hey, you got to listen to this sermon. Let me know what you think. So I was actually traveling to Colombia to visit an inmate in a prison in Colombia. And while I was traveling there, I listened to this sermon, and I called the person up who recommended it to me and said, wow, you know, that was a great sermon. He really did an excellent job in it. I really recommend that. And, you know, boy, I'd like to get a hold of him and actually see about having him come to the studio and do that. That was a long time ago. That was probably 6 months, maybe even a year ago or so. Since that time, I have actually used that sermon as I in my pastoral ministry or folks outside of my church, just the nature of the radio program or so forth. I'll get people that have contacted me and said, I'm struggling with this particular area or that. Could we talk for a little bit about what I'm going through? And sometimes it actually relates to this subject of lust. And I have actually recommended Rob's sermon and sometimes provided it for him. One individual actually made copies of it, multiple CD copies of it, and I then used those copies to give out to people. Well, we finally got Rob nailed down. He just got back from India. He's been gone for quite a while on a mission trip over into India. He's just gotten back, and we have him scheduled to be with me tomorrow in the studio, and we'll be talking through that sermon. We're going to be using his sermon as an outline of our conversation. I want you to hear this. Rob makes a statement in the beginning of that sermon that I think is very true. Two statements, and I'm going to get to this vicious attack here in just a second. But two statements that he makes are very, very important. One is, he says that the church has not done a very good job of providing answers for this problem. We've given kind of pad answers. We've given platitudes, you know, take these two verses and call me in the morning, you know, this type of an approach. That's not cutting it, and we have to do better at it. This sermon will help you to do that. Two, Rob says this. He says that it doesn't just come down to, you know, putting things together in a booklet, or that this one sermon is the end-all, be-all to everything that you need to take into consideration when you're dealing with a sin like lust. Really, we need to talk more about the whole gospel, the whole Christ, to the whole person. That's what we need to talk about. And that involves much more than just the sermon that we'll talk about tomorrow, or one little booklet or pamphlet or a book on the subject. That involves the entire idea of the taking part and participating in the means of grace. Now, what we hear preached each and every week at our churches and so forth, prayer, the reading of God's word, and so forth. So that's a little bit of a disclaimer on it, but let me just say there's where we're going in our broadcast tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a good, resourceful broadcast for you that you can pass on to everyone. You are either going to struggle with this issue yourself, or you are going to know of somebody who struggles with this issue. Either way, you're going to need to know what we talk about on the broadcast tomorrow. Okay, let's go to our second half of the broadcast today about the attack that is taking place. This is a post out on Answers in Genesis. I had a little bit of a role that I played in here. I know the folks from the Christian school, as I mentioned, the teacher that actually gave the quiz to her students is a member of my the congregation that I pastor. I don't want to say her name. I didn't ask her if it was okay to share her name on this broadcast, but she teaches our Sunday school lessons along with my daughter. And so, you know, we have two actually certified Christian school teachers that are involved in our Sunday school classes. And so I have the utmost respect for her. She has invited me to come out there to speak to the students at Blue Ridge Christian Academy, and I have done so. A wonderful school. I was impressed with what they were doing there at the school, the level of the Christian training that was taking place. And so I highly recommend it. BCRA, you know, just a wonderful Blue Ridge, BRCA, I should have said, Blue Ridge Christian Academy. They just do a wonderful job. Well, that said, she went ahead and let me just read to you what takes place here. Ken Ham lists this. They spoke to me about what was going on. They knew that I knew some of the folks there at Answers in Genesis. So right away, I got in touch with some of my contacts at AIG and mentioned to them, you know, look what has taken place with this Christian school. This is now out on Snopes. They're actually getting verbal and threats taking place because of this. And Answers in Genesis has really stepped up here and really tried to help out in their situation. So it says, it starts off this way. It says, Christian education is under attack in America as never before. This is Ken Ham and Mark Loy that are writing this. Yesterday on our website, we highlighted the plight of the Romkes, I think that's the way it's pronounced, the German Christian family who is seeking asylum in America because of the German government forbids their homeschooling instruction. The Obama administration is siding with the German government and its view of homeschooling, and they are seeking to deport this family who want to educate their children in accord with God's word. And the U.S. Attorney General succeeds, if he succeeds, in denying their asylum, it may have chilling ramifications for religious and educational liberties in the United States. Today, we bring your attention to another attack on Christian education, a Christian K-12 school in South Carolina with dedicated and highly qualified Christian teachers, has come under vicious attack by atheists. Why? Because one of its instructors, a fourth grade teacher, tested her children about biblical creation, science, and dinosaurs using AIG resources. She has become infamous on many atheist websites and blogs. The atheistic buzz about the dinosaur and Bible quiz, however, is really not all that surprising. Over the past few years, we have seen atheists becoming more aggressive and intolerant towards Christians. They then have a sidebar here on this website, and in the sidebar, they list a number of ways in which other attacks against Christians recently has taken place. Things like that there are actually billboards promoting atheists and attacking Christians have popped up across the country. They also list here that the American Humanist Association has launched a special website for children to indoctrinate them in atheism. They talk about an atheist rally in Washington, D.C. last year that had a special promotion to encourage kids to attend their atheistic camps. They talk about many atheists claim that children belong to the community. You heard me mention that MSNBC host who actually was doing a promo for their program. And in that 60-second promo that they produced, she actually says during that promo that we have to get away from this notion that children belong to the parents. That's what she says. And then she says we have to think much more collectively, read socialism, right, with a collective notion. And if we would get away from this, then we would be able to fund more education, the public education of our children. I mean, the notion is just chilling to hear it actually stated this way. The point is this. This is not some little group that is off in the corner with some strange views. This isn't some, minority opinion. This is now becoming a big part of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. That MSNBC ad that they put out, that promo that they put out, actually used a lot of terminology that was associated with the last presidential campaign. It was referred to as lean forward, was what the promo was called. Forward was not only the slogan of Barack Obama in his last presidential campaign, but forward is actually a socialistic motto. The idea is that we are moving beyond. We're moving beyond the constraints of the culture that we currently live in. Read, i.e., biblical environment, that was here in the United States at its founding and for many years after that. We need to move on. We need to throw off those chains of the religious influence in our society, the Judeo-Christian influence, and we need to progress past those things. That's what the whole concept that is taking place. It's actually it's a development of the doctrine that is there, the philosophy that they're promoting is one of statism, that the state and what it decides is supreme. It's the supremacy of the state over the supremacy of the Word of God. That's actually what's taking place in that particular movement of progressivism. And so as Christians, of course, we reject that notion. And even as Americans, we should reject that notion, because you notice in our statement of allegiance, we say we are one nation under God. The nation is not over God. The nation is under God. And that was the sentiment of our founding fathers. And they put it right into our documents, that notion as well. Well, this whole movement, this statist movement, and this atheistic and secular attacks that are taking place, these things are all trying to destroy this idea of the supremacy of God and His Word, and replace the supremacy of God with the supremacy of the state. It's statism, exalting the state to that level. We have to be on guard against this. Not only do we need to expose it for what it really is, but we need to oppose it as wherever we find it rearing its ugly head. Here we find it rearing its head in this statements that are made against this really good Christian school, this Blue Ridge Christian Academy. Let me read to you a little bit. I'm going to try to enlarge this quiz that is on this page. It says this. It's a fourth grade science quiz, and the subheading says Dinosaurs, Genesis, and the Gospel. Okay, so here's the first question. Let's see how you do on this, fourth grade quiz. Are you smarter than a fourth grader? Here you go. The first question was, the Earth is billions of years old, true or false? I should give away a book, and then you could call in with your answers. Well, I'm going to give you this one. Okay, that's false. The world and the Earth is not billions of years old. So the child here on this test that was put on on the Snopes.com, they received a 100% from the teacher that's in my congregation. She gave the student an A+ for their answers. And in fact, the student even got here. Now I see a smiley face on here as well. So she got everything, 100%, A+, written in red, top of the page with a smiley face. Second question. Dinosaurs lived millions of years ago, true or false? The answer to that is false. They didn't live millions of years ago. If the Earth is not billions or millions of years old and dinosaurs lived upon the Earth, then the dinosaurs are not billions or millions of years old. Okay, third question. On what day did God make dinosaurs? God made dinosaurs on the sixth day, and the child got that right. Fourth question, dinosaurs lived with people. True or false? The answer is true. Gary's rejoicing here. He's getting them right. Dinosaurs lived with people. And we know that, you know, in the book of Job, you hear the Lord speaking about to Job, you know, saying to Job, you know, where were you when I created these things? He refers to Leviathan there in those sections in Job, you know, and Behemoth, you know, these types of statements are made. He's referring to dinosaurs, of which Job doesn't say, well, I have no concept of what you're talking about. You know, I don't understand this word that you're using or this concept. So we see it there in other places as well. What did people eat in the beginning? People and animals eat in the beginning. Plants was the answer. Number six, which one of these fits the description of Job chapter 40? Circle the correct picture. It has an elephant, it has a rhino, and it has a dinosaur. And in this case, the dinosaur, which one is that? That's the one with the long neck. What is that? What is that?
Brontosaurus.
Okay, we'll take Gary's word for it. We've got a dinosaur expert here. It looks like the one that looks like Nessie there, you know, in the Loch Ness Monster. You know, that one. Okay. And so the brontosaurus is circled. The answer is circled the correct one. Seven says this, true or false, if an animal has sharp teeth, it must mean that it was a meat eater. That answer is false. It doesn't necessarily mean that it was a meat eater. I can't see the rest of the questions on this photo that's there, so I'm going to jump to number 11. Whom should we always trust? You know, and this is a concept between should we trust, you know, the secular society, the atheists that say one thing. It doesn't say this in the question, but I'm just saying that based upon, or should we trust what the Word of God says? Well, the child says we should trust God. And not only do they answer God, but God with four exclamation points after it. Amen. This is a 10-year-old. I think there'd be some preachers that would lose, that would not be able to go through this quiz. Number 12 says this, what is the history book of the universe? The child answers, the Bible. Bible in all caps. And this time that answer receives three exclamation points after it. Amen. Number 13, what did God tell Noah to build? The answer is an ark. Then it shows one of those really, you know, really silly-looking pictures of the ark, very childish, you know, the animal head sticking out, and like that. And it says, you know, did Noah's ark look like this? And the child answers, false. You know, that wasn't what the, we have this false imagery in our mind of what the ark looked like. By the way, Answers in Genesis is actually reconstructing an ark, a life-size or true to the biblical record, a sized ark at their facility there, nearby their facility at the museum, the Creation Museum. And so you want to be aware of that. It's they think they've broken ground already and they raised a significant amount of funding already. I think they're just waiting to for the rest of the funding to come in. The average size of the dinosaur. Gary, this one's for you. We'll see if you get this correct. The average size of a dinosaur was A, the size of a giraffe, B, the size of a rhino, C, the size of an elephant, or D, the size of a sheep?
D.
The answer is D. Gary has gotten it correct. Very good. Gary, help yourself to an extra glass of water there in the lunchroom. That's what you win on the broadcast. So very good, Gary. It is. The average size was only the size of a sheep. What caused there to be fossils? This is getting a little bit more deep here. Was it lightning? Was it a tornado? Was it evolution? Or was it a global flood? The global flood, that's right. I was there in the Grand Canyon with the folks from the Answers in Genesis, and we looked at fossils while we were there. In fact, Andrew Snelling was there, and I was actually was able to participate in a test that he was doing. You know, you can't take anything out of the Grand Canyon, but he was allowed to go out and we were allowed to chip off certain samples, had to have special permission for this. We recorded the GPS location that we were at in the canyon. We put them in a bag. We took photographs of us doing that. Critical, all these pieces that you have to do. And so he was doing some testing that were there. But we stopped on the side of the Colorado River. We did 200 miles of the Colorado River. We would stop on the side, Terry Mortensen, Andrew Snelling, some of the other folks from AIG and the Master's Seminary would then give us a class on the side of the road, on the side of the river. And then we would, so I saw these fossils firsthand. You know, how do you get shells or these types of things in the Grand Canyon? Well, because the water that rushed through there in this tremendous, catastrophic event that took place called the Global Flood. So I don't have time to go through the rest of these, but you can read the article for yourself. You can go out. I'll put a link to it on our page out on Sermon Audio today for our if you go to listen to the audio in that description of the audio or out on our blog page, I'll put a link to this. But it's out on answersingenesis.org, and you can go out there to read the article for yourself and what Ken Ham says as he goes out there in order to comment on this news story that is taking place. He goes on here to say in this article that the DVD of a children's program in which an AIG songwriter and dinosaur sculptor Buddy Davis and I are also featured. In this DVD, we teach children the history of the universe from the Bible with a special emphasis on teaching dinosaurs from a biblical perspective, as we do in our inside our creation museum. The teacher handed out a question sheet to the children to test what they had learned from the DVD. And so here is this, really innocuous, positive event in this children's life, in these children's lives, that has taken place. And yet the atheists then pick up on this out on Snopes.com. They actually threatened, in one case, to behead the people that were there at the school. I read some of the comments that said that there should be a law against this, and that you shouldn't be able to teach your children this type of information. You know, these are the same type of people that talk about tolerance in our society. Some of the most intolerant people on the planet are the people that are involved in this atheistic movement, these aggressive atheists, or also we see it in much of the homosexual activist movement, by the way, as well. So just some of the most intolerant people on the planet when it comes to somebody else holding a different view. I commend Blue Ridge Christian Academy for teaching this. Well done for standing up for the truth and not giving in to this type of an attack. You know, as Christians, we got to do the same thing. We got to stand up for the truth of the Word of God and not be afraid to speak what the Word of God has to say. this teacher that did this training and the entire school out there deserves our support and our highest commendation. And so does Answers in Genesis, by the way. You can see them over at the homeschooling convention this week. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.